So from time to time today, we are going to ask you to work as a table. So before we ask you to collaborate, it's important that you know who is seated at your table. So I'd like you to take a few moments, please, to introduce yourself to your table mates, say what you do, where you work, and share a favorite hobby or activity that you're willing to share in an environment such as this. So take a few moments for that, please. Okay, folks, now that everybody knows everyone, I should ask, what was the most interesting hobby or activity that was revealed? Any volunteers? Someone does roller derby? A butcher? Riding on trains? Outstanding. All right, now it is time for the table to work. I'm going to give you a scenario, some facts, some background, and your task as a table will be to talk about what should happen under the scenario that I've given you. And this is not limited to lawyers or judges. Everybody should weigh in. Please make an effort to ensure that everyone at your table has an opportunity to express a perspective. If you can reach agreement, that's great. If you cannot, that's fine. Try to think about, if you do not reach consensus, what are the extremes of the responses? And really the ultimate question is going to be, is the person we're about to discuss appropriate for a treatment court? If so, why? If not, why not? And if the answer is that this person is not appropriate, what should the response be? So we're going to share some facts about Matt. And I know it's maybe tough in the back of the room, so I'll read each one as they get posted. All right, so Matt is 42 years old, and he lives with his partner and daughter. He has 8 pending felony charges, 5 different instances. One of them is a residential burglary into an occupied dwelling. None of the offenses involve violence or overt acts of violence. At age 15, Matt had his first encounter with law enforcement. The records from that event are sealed. Matt is not a stranger to the criminal justice system. Bad check case in 1992 was dismissed. False token, a felony, received a split sentence, which for some of you who may not know what that means, at some period of incarceration followed by probation supervision. Ultimately, Matt was violated on the terms of his probation, and his probation was revoked. He was convicted in 97 of a felony possession of stolen property and was ordered to serve 1 to 4 years. There was a felony retail theft in 2000. He received a split for that, ultimately was released on probation, was violated from his probation, and was unsatisfactorily discharged from probation supervision. A bad check again in 2003, 0 to 6 months to serve. A gross negligent operation, driving with a suspended license, and attempt to elude in 2003 as well, received a sentence of 0 to 2 years to serve. Matt has been using substances since age 9. Marijuana at 9, cocaine at 10, not listed there. He smokes cocaine. began selling and using heroin at 19. His poly substance use continues to this day and was present at the time of the pending charges at the second bullet point. Matt has had multiple efforts at rehabilitation, but continues to use substances. So, with that background, your task as a table is to decide, what should we do with Matt? Is he appropriate for treatment court? If so, why? If not, why not? And if the answer is that he is not appropriate, what are you going to do with him? Discuss.
Yes.
Yeah. So an excellent question, and that is you should assume that all pending charges, the strength of the state's evidence is substantial. Okay, so now that you all have had an opportunity to talk about Matt, I'm wondering if any table would like to share what they came up with as a proposed response. And we have handheld mics. Please wait until you have a microphone so that we can pick it up. You know what? Just for fun, I can't see the numbers on the table, but I know that there are numbers. Where's table number 8? Oh, the judge's table. Judge Saxman, would someone from table 8, that was totally random, like to report on their thoughts about Matt?
Thanks for volunteering.
Judge Dworkin.
So we had several different sort of questions we had. One was the gap between 2003 and now. That could either be a period of where things were going well, which would be somebody could look at it for what supports were necessary, or it could just be that no interaction with law enforcement, even though everything was a disaster. But overall, there's a clear long history of drug use and abuse. There's crimes that we believe are related to the drug use. The residential burglary we thought was, you know, could very well be related to an attempt to get money to get drugs. The support, the family structure is good. I mean, overall, our thought was this is what drug court is for. We didn't have to get into the issue of trying to deal with a violent crime because there isn't one. So,
all right,
overall is appropriate for drug court.
Thank you. Interesting. How about this table?
We didn't have complete agreement. A lot of what Sam Dworkin said was echoed by this table. We were interested in the 13-year period. It did indicate to us that there is some reason to believe that this person did show commitment to treatment and worked with that. We also thought that clearly this is a high-risk, high-need situation. We did have a federal prosecutor at our table who took a slightly different view. And when we talk about acceptable risk, Joe pointed out that the residential burglary, saying that that's a nonviolent crime is not accurate. I mean, it is certainly creates potential risk and is of concern. And we noted that in federal versus state court, the level of risk that a judge and a prosecutor may be willing to take may differ some. And I think for most of the table, though, that while certainly we recognize a residential burglary as being escalated behavior, that the risk and the need and the question of what else would there be and will this person eventually be out anyway and how we best treat him led us to conclude that treatment court was the best.
If I might follow up, was the reluctance by one member of your table to send Matt to treatment court risk-based or politically based?
Let's let him talk.
Oh, it was definitely not politically based. I try to exclude that from any I take pride in excluding that from any prosecutorial decision. I think the first thing you do in analyzing whether someone should go to treatment court is the risk to the public of a relapse. And here there's an escalation of crimes, and a burglary into an occupied building is just an unacceptable risk. If it was 8 pending felony distribution charges, I wouldn't bat an eye at recommending this person for drug court. So on the face of that cold record, my recommendation would have been no, with 2 caveats. One, I would speak to local PD to get a read on this guy, to learn a little more about that residential burglary. Was it stealing a chainsaw from a cellar? And second, I would want to sit down with this person and for an hour or two with his attorney and try to see if I could get a read on this person and why he committed that high-risk crime. But bottom line, risk of the consequences of a relapse to public safety were on the face of that cold record were just too much for me.
And any table with a different take or different slant or different approach to the problem? Over here, Valdir. Hold on, if you would, please. Just we'll get it on the microphone. Thank you.
I'd like to say that it's a false choice. Treatment or jail, hospital or prison. It should be both, but the hospital should be less like a hospital and the jail less like a jail. It should be both simultaneously.
Senator.
As vice chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I just want to go back to the table of judges. Where are you guys? Oh, thank you. I was blinded by Rob. I'm astounded that you don't know that from the judiciary's perspective, the Senate Judiciary's perspective, that a burglary is actually rising to a level of something that is almost bordering outright violence. At least our chair would take that position for sure. But the other question is, what are those other felony charges that are pending? Are they murder cases? And until you get that question answered, it's kind of hard to fashion a definite answer for this fact equation. But assuming they are not crimes of violence, you have the ability with a lengthy number of felonies to fashion a suspended sentence as a hammer, and yet still hopefully overcome your concern about that potentially being a crime of violence breaking in. You have that ability to fashion a lengthy suspended sentence and yet get the person in and motivate the person to get into drug treatment and keep him there for a while.
One of the things that is always fascinating when you do exercises like this in a place like Vermont that does not have guidelines is that we come up with different outcomes depending upon the people involved in the decision making. One final comment, please.
It looked to some of us at our table that those 13 years, he seems to have gotten himself together enough to obtain a partner and to have a daughter, and so that he's had some experience with a life and he has something to lose now that he didn't have before, and so we feel that he has an extra motivation here that we can tap for treatment court.
Nice. Excellent point. So we are going to move on, and we're going to revisit Matt at least once and maybe twice before the day is over. But I'd like to segue right now and say that...